It's Mother's Day. I usually do take time to talk and preach to the mothers and men. I know you're not mothers by no means. That's impossible. No matter what they tell you nowadays, that's impossible. Amen. You can never be a mother. Amen. I promise you this. It's amazing that everybody in this room, there's very few things that all of us have in common. But we do have this in common. All of you have had a mother. Amen. You can't change that. That's just a reality. Everybody in this room, you've had a mother. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that today. And I really don't have one verse I would take you to. We're going to talk about several verses of Scripture. And as I already said, I know that my wife was telling me this. I guess, I don't know if she heard it on the radio or what. But Mother's Day is the day that's the most popular for eating out. Because mothers don't cook on Mother's Day. Amen. So, and usually, that's not the case everywhere, but they said that by the popular statistics that most women don't cook on Mother's Day, and there's very few men that can cook. So that just leads to the only option. Let's go get a bite to eat somewhere. So today, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people getting food. Amen. But let's get into the Word of God just for a little bit today. But if I was to title this, and we're not going to, I don't know how long we'll be, and at the end of the service, we'll just kind of pray for the mothers and all that. But I guess I would title this, A Motherhood Reformation. And talking to you today as women and mothers, I know Mother's Day can sometimes be painful for some, and it can be one of those things that some people cannot have children, and that is a sad thing. And it can be one of those things that maybe you have a mother who's went on to be with the Lord or just went on to be. And we look at this and we understand that Mother's Day can be a day where it is heavy on some hearts. But this is a fact today, that Mother's Day is not so much about the woman as much as it is representing your mother. That's what it's about. It's about remembering your mother. I was reading about the history of Mother's Day and where it came from. It really started, it was something that came later on from a president, but it started off with a woman just really wanting to represent her mother and just to represent her life real well. And if I'm not mistaken, at the funeral, her mother loved flowers. And at the funeral, she had her mother's favorite flower and gave one to each person that was at the funeral. And from that, she wanted to have a day to represent mothers. And that's why we have Mother's Day today. But in America, you would agree with me today on this, is that in America there has been a degrading of motherhood. It really has. To where in America we have noticed this, that ever since the legalization of abortion, that motherhood has fallen below careers, hobbies, body shape, vacations, fun weekend. And I do believe this hurts the heart of God. When you begin to study the Scripture, you know that it is God's will that we are those that carry on the will of God and also perpetuate life in this world. How many knows you're made in the image of God? We know that. Do you know when you have a child, that child is also in the image of God? Isn't that amazing to know that God, not an animal can do that, but God has made it so that we can propagate those that are in the image of God. And it's something that is so beautiful. But we're going to look at this today. And I don't have really one verse to take you to, so to speak. But I'm going to give you, we're going to talk today about Solomon. That wise man in the Bible. That king that we say he's wise, but it ended up being his demise later on in his life or in his life. And we look at the life of Solomon. And we're going to look at this, that Solomon, obviously in writing, referenced his mother very much. Now we're going to look at this with the Lord's help, talk about some different things, and we're going to talk about what I call multi-generational motherhood and how important that is when we look in the Scripture. But understand this, that in Proverbs it mentions several things about the respect for a mother. We look in the book of Proverbs, it says something like this, and it says in Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Amen. Proverbs 10:1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." How many knows that is true today? When you have a child that is foolish and makes foolish decisions, it is a burden and a weight unto that mother. Proverbs 15:20 says this, "A wise son maketh glad a father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." Won't you think of that for a moment? Before you go to make a foolish, if you're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you really say you love your mother, now follow me here, and you say, "I love my mama, and I would do absolutely anything for her in this world," won't you keep this in mind, that if you're a foolish son or a foolish daughter, you are one that despiseth your own mother, because you bring a burden and a weight to her that God never intended for her to bear. Isn't that something to think about? I began to pray when I was studying this and thinking about the years, in my teenage years, I got saved at 20 years old. How much heartache I caused my mother and my father. And I realized in that I was a burden unto her and I was not a blessing unto her. But I do realize this now. Since I've given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I can see even a difference on the countenance of my very own mother when it comes to this life, because she knows that, look, we have this blessed hope that we can be together in eternity. When we come to Proverbs chapter 31 today, we're going to look at a few things here. It's amazing that when you study the book of Proverbs, get this in your mind today, that the book of Proverbs begins with the wise words of a father, and then it ends at Proverbs 31, and it ends with the wise words of a mother. It starts with the wise words of a father, and it ends with the wise words of a mother. Has anybody ever heard of that Proverbs 31 woman? You ever heard of that before? I'm telling you, if you go in the Lifeway Christian bookstore, they got to advertise a Proverbs 31 woman here. Or you can get a book, How to Be a Proverbs 31 Woman. Because it talks about there how precious a woman can be. I believe Proverbs 31. And many people have ideas about this. Because it doesn't mention the mother of Solomon there. It has another name that starts with an L, a male or something like that. I'm not the best at pronouncing it. But I am one that believes when I study Scripture. You're welcome to forge your own idea about this, because a lot of debate about it. I believe Solomon is referring to his own mother, Bathsheba. Now you study yourself and come to your own conclusion, but I'll build a foundation here and describe to you why. When I look in the Bible, when it says in Proverbs 31 and 10, it says, a worthy woman, who can find her? A worthy woman. Think about that. Ladies, hear me today. It says, a worthy woman. A woman that holds her worth. Who is doing what God has created her to do. God has not made you. Follow me here today. Don't fall out with me, but follow me. Amen. Because if you read the Bible, you just have to argue with Scripture. God has never ordained you to be somebody to forsake your household and to chase the American dollar. Amen. I just heard a pin drop. God has never called you to do that. I'm not against a woman working a job and helping provide. Lord knows in America nowadays, with the way things, how much things cost, that happens at times. But I'm telling you ladies in this church, God, number one, you were made and created to be a mother to the living in that home. You are to be one to be a nurturer and somebody that can care for one. You can never, hear me, you can never replace a mother or a father in a home. Both gender roles are very important. You need a mother and you need a father. That's why it is so sad when you look at the divorce rate in America and you notice that now we have these single family homes. I know there's been men and women that have been done wrong and situations have happened and children did come out all right, but they did suffer in some way, in some form, in some fashion or another. But God, I'm telling you, has given us the structure of family to make sure that our children are protected and guarded from our selfishness, from our self-will, from our addictions, from our hobbies, from our attitudes. All of those things must not be something that affects our children. Notice this, a worthy woman who can find, for a price is far above rubies. It is one of those things. It is so precious. It is so delicate. It is hard. I will say this today. It is hard to find men and women that are living out their gender roles as God has intended them to be. I promise you this, outside of the church you won't find one. Hear me. Outside of the church, you will not find one. Because if you take this Bible out of your life, you cannot be the woman God wants you to be, and you cannot be the man God wants you to be. You've got to have a biblical worldview in order to fulfill what God has wanted you to do. I'm telling you, our homes have been under attack for so long. When we have the uprising of what we call the feminist movement, where women feel like, look, I can do what men can do, and I can do it better. And I just read this yesterday and thought it was disgusting in my mind. And this what they call MMA fighting is what it is. It's where men fight each other. And I'm not endorsing anything, but follow me. They have a woman now. I believe her name is something Fox. They have a woman now. He was a man that got a sex change and says, look, now I want to fight women. And they're letting them. And he's hurting people. Do you see how mixed up America has gotten when you begin to erase the gender line? When you begin to erase the foundations? I'm telling you, you remove the foundation of the home. You remove the foundation of gender. And I'm telling you, this will topple and collapse and crumble because God has gave us a premise. God has gave us boundaries that we are to live in if we are going to be a blessed people. If you want to have a blessed home today, be the mother and the father that God has called you to be. If you abort that at all, you will not have a blessed home. You have a home that is full of turmoil. You have a home that's full of division and rift. Now hear me today. We go into this, notice the reverence that Solomon had for his mother. We know that his mother was, her name was Bathsheba, and we'll talk about her in a moment. But 1 Kings 2:19 says this, that Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah, and the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a throne to be set for the king's mother, and she sat at his right hand. Can you picture this? As Bathsheba comes into Solomon in his throne room, he doesn't sit there in arrogance. He doesn't act like he's so strong. He stands up. He, when his mother walks into the room, he salutes her. The Bible says that when the king rose to meet her and bowed himself unto her and said, look, he sat down on his throne and he said, hey fellas, go get another throne and set it right here. Mama needs to sit down. Do you see what happened here? Even though he was king, even though he had authority, there's still reverence for your mother. Now hear me today. You may not always see eye to eye with your mother. Your mother may not have always made the best decisions, but the Bible still commands us to be honorable to our mothers and our fathers. Look, there's ways you can be respectful to them and also disagree with them. You're never to act as if they have no position in your life. Look, there's times in my own life that we had to deal with things on the parental level that we disagreed with. But there's ways to handle those things. You never dishonor your parents. That's breaking one of the Big Ten. You know that? The Big Ten Commandments. Amen. You don't want to break those. No, you're honorable unto them. Now look, I know there's hurt with this, because I know there's been children that have been done wrong. I know that. But look, I'm telling you, you still have to be respectful in a sense. Look, you don't have to obey them in a sense doing something wrong, but you can respect them and be honorable to them the best of your ability. And you've got to pray and ask God for direction with that. So hear me today. The reason I believe that Bathsheba probably ended up being a good mother, because I believe this. I believe she wanted to keep Solomon, her son, from making the same mistakes that she did. If you're a mother here today and you don't want your children to learn, if you made a bad decision in your childhood and say, I want my kids to go exactly through what I went through, that's not very motherly, is it? We know the story of Bathsheba. She had an affair with David. There was the murder of her husband Uriah. We know the story. What a wicked past she had. What an evil thing that she done. When we look in the Scriptures there, in the Bible, in 1 Samuel, in 2 Samuel, excuse me, and we see what happened there. She was a woman that committed adultery on her husband, and it was a mark against her. And I do not believe, when we read the story, and you find out about the murder, or we find out about the murder of Uriah, I look at the story, and not a whole lot is said about Bathsheba's emotional makeup and all of this. But we do know the story that David hid this, and Bathsheba hid this for going on close to a year. And they had a child, because we know she ended up becoming pregnant. They had a child. And the Bible says this, you know, in God's judgment, that God took that child from them. Nathan the prophet came unto David and told him, look, you're going to lose your child because of your sins and because covering up for your sins. But we read in the Bible and know this, that the death of her child, that she was very sad when it happened. I don't believe when her child died that she looked up there and said, I'm glad I committed my sins today. I don't believe she looked at that and said, I'm glad I committed adultery. I believe the death of Uriah. I believe that affair affected her mind and affected her emotional makeup. And here it is. The Bible says this. After everything was said and done, it says David went unto her and he comforted her. No doubt, I'm sure they had a time of repentance. No doubt, I'm sure. You read Psalms 51. David had a repentant heart. But here it is. It says he comforted her. And the Bible lets us know that Bathsheba bare another son. And you know what the name of that son was? The name of that son was Solomon. And that is where he came from. It was not a beautiful relationship to start off with. They had committed adultery. It was wicked. It was evil. God never approved of it. And David suffered for it throughout his whole entire life. The same thing today. If you commit sins, you will suffer. You will reap what you sow. But notice this, how grace does intervene in this. After they had a repentant heart, she bare a son. His son, her son's name was Solomon. You look that word up. Can you imagine what it was like for her after she found out she was pregnant with this baby? You know, after being through what she's went through, maybe thinking to herself, I'll never have another future. I'll never be able to be blessed of God again. And all of a sudden, she expects a son and she gives birth to the son. His name is Solomon. And you know what the name of Solomon means? It means peaceable. It means that which is peaceful. And the Bible says this, that Solomon was loved of the Lord. Do you get this? Isn't this not a beautiful display of the grace and the mercy of God? How somebody makes such a bad decision, but here it is, she's holding a baby. Not just any baby, but the baby's name is Solomon. And the Bible says he was loved of the Lord. And we know the story that God gave another name by Nathan the prophet. Said his name would also be called Jedidiah, which means loved of the Lord. Every time Bathsheba looked at Solomon, his very presence reminded them that God had forgiven their past and guaranteed plans for their future. Hear me today, sisters. You can't change yesterday. Yesterday is written in the books, but you can't affect tomorrow. You don't have to let your children go through the same mistakes that you did. You can avoid that if you raise them in the fear of God and with prayer and in the right way. Can you imagine holding Solomon? It guaranteed the plans for their future. Now, I want you to look at this today because this is so important. I call this multi-generational faith. But today, I'm going to title this multi-generational motherhood. Notice this. We find it also in 2 Timothy where it says this, that Timothy in the Bible, we know who he is. He had an unfeigned faith, an undisassembled faith. And this is what Paul said to him. He said, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it's in thee also. Many people believe that Timothy's dad was either dead or a pagan man, a pagan Gentile. But we do know the Bible mentions here, he says, I've been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee. You know what that word unfeigned means? It means it's still intact. It means it never came to pieces. It meant that Lois, his grandmother, had this faith in Jesus and she kept it together and she nursed it and she prayed and she read and she taught and she took care of this faith. She gave it to her daughter who was named Eunice, and guess what Eunice did with it? She took that faith from her mother and she cherished it and she nursed it and she kept it together, and then that mother there gave it to Timothy, and Paul says this, I remember that faith that was in thy grandmother and in thy mother, and I'm persuaded it's in you too, Timothy. Mothers, hear me today. It is important that your faith is intact. A lot of times our faith is so disassembled where we live it on Sunday, but we're a hypocrite on Monday. You'll never pass on your faith to your children like that. I've met them before. I've met parents like this. Smoking, they're out there smoking a cigarette. And they said, I tell my children not to smoke. And I'm thinking to myself, really? But you're not strong enough to lead by example? You're not strong enough that little bit of tobacco and piece of paper is going to defeat you, and possibly your children might get addicted to the same habit? Children do what they see. I'm learning that as a father now. I've gotten to the place now with Chloe, I've got to pop her hands. And we got a spoon. And I don't abuse her, but pop her hand, pop her leg. Quit doing that. The other day I felt something hit my leg and she has a spoon. She's getting on Daddy for some reason. Why is she getting on me? She's seen me do it. Children will mimic. I read this story years ago about a father, but mothers listen as well. It was this man who had a drinking habit. And he kept saying, look, I know I need to kick the habit. I'm not going to get drunk and all this stuff. He kept it out in the barn. So that one night he noticed the wife was asleep, the babies was asleep. And so you know what he did? He started tippy-toeing out the house. Shuts the door behind him. He starts walking and it's snowing. He's walking. And he gets to the barn and he finds where that old whiskey is and he turns it up and starts drinking a little bit. And all of a sudden, he looks out there and his son's walking in his footprints in the snow. He said, and it dawned on him. He said, my Lord, my son is going to follow my footsteps. Can I not leave a good path? I don't want him to follow me to alcoholism. Mothers, hear me. Your daughters and your sons and your grandchildren will follow your footsteps unless you intervene and let God do a mighty work in their lives. I don't know about you. I don't want my children making the same mistakes I made, because I know it hurts and it is detrimental. Notice this, Solomon also had great examples. Notice the multi-generational faith in the family of Solomon here. When I go to the book of Matthew chapter 1, and please follow me for a moment, this talks about the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows where Jesus came from. And this is what it says in Matthew 1 and 5. And Solomon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David begot Solomon of her that he had been his wife of Uriah. So notice here, there's three women that are mentioned in the lineage of Jesus, that's in the lineage of Solomon, that we can pay attention to, that I believe Solomon learned from, and you wish he had learned more. Anybody ever heard of a woman by the name of Rahab? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Jericho. She was a prostitute. Yeah. You remember the spies came into Jericho? What did she do? She hid them and protected them. Understand this, Rahab was the great, great, great grandmother of Solomon. And we look in the Bible, we know this, that she was a harlot, and that'd be tough to say about your grandma. You know I'm right. If your grandma's a harlot, you wouldn't say, my grandma's a harlot. That's tough. Imagine being Boaz, and that being your mother. But we look at the story and can understand this. We notice that she perished not with them that believed not, because there she showed faith and had faith in the living God, and she protected the spies. We also know that she saved her family from destruction, and obviously was converted and married to the Hebrew faith, and was the mother of Boaz, who was an honorable man, and she's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Don't you think that maybe Solomon heard about Rahab and her faith? What about this woman by the name of Ruth? Anybody ever heard of Ruth? We know Ruth was the great-great-grandmother of Solomon. This is a pretty good lineage when you look at it. We look at this. She was the great-great-grandmother of Solomon. We know that she was from a pagan land. She was a Moabitess. She dedicated to Naomi her life. And she said that she would not leave, that she would go where she would go, and that Naomi's God would be her God. She was hardworking. She showed faith in God, and God blessed her. Don't you think that Solomon heard about Ruth and how God used her and how God blessed her and her obedience and faith? And then you get to Bathsheba and see what she went through. Solomon has a pretty good lineup of people who came from bad backgrounds, made bad mistakes, and I believe that Rahab, if she could talk to Solomon, she'd say, Solomon, there ain't nothing in that pagan world. I believe Ruth would tell him the same thing. Solomon, there's nothing in that pagan world. And I believe Bathsheba told him the same thing. Son, be careful with many women. Be careful about this. Be careful about that, because he cared for her son. Now we know that Solomon, it was sad how he failed. But we do know this, that he recognized the love of a mother. In 1 Kings chapter 3, I'm going to give you this and we won't be much longer. One of the greatest examples of Solomon's wisdom was based on knowing that a mother would never harm her child and would only act in the child's best interest. You remember the story? Solomon's on the throne, and two prostitute women come before the throne. Now, this is very unique. You get this, because David and Solomon actually allowed the common people to come into the throne room. That was unheard of for most kings. Can you imagine two prostitute women walking into the presence of a king? It was unheard of in that day. These two women came in and they had a story like this. One woman spoke up, the first woman, and said this, Solomon, she said, look, she said, me and this lady right here live in the same house. We both had the same occupation. We're both harlots. Said we both got pregnant around the same time, and we both delivered our children within the same week. She said, but my friend, both of us went to sleep, and my friend smothered her child on accident, overlaid her, as the Bible would say. She said, but when I was asleep, my friend got up and noticed that her child was dead. Came over to my bed and took my living child and placed her dead child in my bed and said, look, that I smothered my child, and the living child is hers. And then, you know what happened? The other woman spoke up and said, she's a liar. It's my child. She did that to me. She did that. Do you see here what Solomon was faced with as he there looking at this situation? And Solomon said something like this. He notices what he said. This was the great dilemma. The two women begin to argue, whose child was this living child? Solomon said, how can I judge this situation? There's no witness there. It's your word versus her word. Then Solomon had an idea. He said, men, go get me a sword. He said, I want you to take that child, cut the baby in half, give half to this mother, and give half to that mother. That's so barbaric in our minds. We're like, oh my gracious. Notice what's happened. Can you picture maybe? As that soldier walks into the room, and he unsheathes the sword. And there in that room, as that mother, now the mothers notice that sword. And Solomon said, cut that baby in half. All of a sudden the Bible says this. The truth came out. The real mother spoke up. The Bible says her bowels and her heart yearned over her son. She said, please don't, king. Please don't kill the baby. Let her have the child. And the false mother said, cut him in half. Instantly Solomon put the sword up. The mother that loved that child that much is the real mother. Do you know we're in a dilemma in America nowadays? Where are the real mothers? Abortion is not the real love of a loving mother. I know there can be people that are deceived and don't understand how precious life is. I'll tell you this, I'll say this, and I'll say it again. If you take that Bible out of your life, you will not understand how precious life is. You'll judge life as just another animal, another plant, and another choice. It's a child, not a choice. So with that said, notice where are the real mothers here? Notice that the heart yearned. She said, let her have the child. Please don't kill it. Notice this. This is how Solomon can tell a difference. And follow me as I say this. The true parental relationship was proved by love. The true mother would rather have the child live without her than die with her. Do you know I've met and came across situations like this and met other pastors where drug addict mothers actually took their baby and gave it to a brother pastor to take care of? And do you know that mother, even though her love is faulty, loves that child enough that she does not want that child to be in the atmosphere that she's in? I've looked at a mother one time who was a known heroin addict, been a prostitute in inner city Baltimore. I remember praying with her in the altar. And she had a little girl that she had to give up in adoption to the pastor of that church. And I asked her, I said, how much do you love that little girl right there? I love her with all of my heart, Pastor Derek. I said, do you love her more than heroin? And she began to cry. Ladies, hear me. There's a love that God has put in your heart that only a mother... You ever heard this old saying? Only a face a mother can love. Being comical. It's one of those things that a mother should have such a love for her children that it's that precious. I'm going to say this. We're about to pray. But do you know we have a faulty conception of what love is nowadays? Do you know what? That you see it all the time during Valentine's. You ever heard of Cupid and his little arrow? And you see a heart with an arrow through it and they say Cupid shot so-and-so. And Cupid. Do you know that's such a false mentality? That's not biblical. Because it makes love seem like it's some random thing. Love is not some random act. Love is a choice. Amen. Love is a choice. Nobody can force you to love anybody. Yes, there's natural love. But guess what? You ever heard somebody say this? I'm afraid to have another child because I don't know if I can love that child as much as the other child. Because you just made a Cupid mentality. You're waiting for some random emotion to hit you. No, I love that child. There's some people that's adopting kids and love those kids unconditionally because it's the love of God. This love, my brothers and sisters, is important. And God wants everybody in this room to have that love. Can we stand to our feet all over the church this morning? I want to do this, and I know this is kind of geared more towards the women. Can every woman in the church please gather around the front of the church? This is just we won't exhaust this, I promise, unless God really begins to move in it. Every woman, please come around the front of the church. And men, you can just stay right where you are. And I understand some may not be able to make it, and we would understand that. I do appreciate the Lord's help this morning. I would ask you to do this as you're coming, and please listen to me as we gather this Mother's Day. I want to charge you, every woman that's in this room, I want to charge you by a biblical mandate of Scripture. You are to help raise this next generation. Some are here younger, some are older, some are mothers, some are not mothers. But you can still be motherly. And it's important to have a heart for the next generation. I'm telling you, just like Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba, and we see Solomon, and just like we see Timothy and his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, how they took the faith of God and they passed it on. Now hear me. What does people think about you as a woman? I'm going somewhere with this. Does your children or grandchildren or maybe a niece or nephew, whoever looks up to you, do they look at you and say, oh, they're crafty, they're smart, they're beautiful? And God forbid they would say something negative. But I want to ask you this question. The greatest compliment you can get from a child, grandchild, niece, nephew, whoever, is that you're godly. Do you know that my grandmother, who's been going beyond with the Lord for several years now, there's a lot of things I don't know about her character. I don't know how crafty she was. They said she led song service when I was younger. I don't know how good of a singer she was. When I grew up of age, she was had a feeble voice and she couldn't sing much. I don't know much about her, but I promise you this. This is the same testimony that went from person to person. Your grandmother was godly. You cannot put a price on a godly woman in a church and a godly mother.